Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk some baseball with Mike McFarland. What's up, Mac?
I am down in Tulsa at my softball team's tournament where it's about 10 degrees cooler than hell.
Wow.
And it is just miserable, muggy. I don't know how bad it is in Kansas City, but it blows right now.
I was in Tulsa last weekend.
So,
Richie and the Accidental Moguls played at the Hard Rock Casino down there.
Ah!
And you know what?
I don't need to hear there's a casino down here.
Right.
Free time.
If you can get away, thoroughly enjoyed my short trip to the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. So,
go roll some bones, Mac.
Yeah. Jake wants you to go roll some bones. Can you do that for
us? Roll some bones. One, I don't know the rules on that. Pretty much, I'm blackjack, and that's about it. Otherwise, it's just a donation to every casino that I go to.
So, Mac, here we go. The Royals win 6-1, and they're able to end their 5-game losing streak. Mike Minor was terrific. That's one of the better starts we've seen from a Royal starting pitcher. He went 7 innings, only gives up 3 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts, and then Barlow and Holland close it out. Your thoughts on Mike Minor coming through, not only with a good performance, but going deep into the game, because that's something the Royals have desperately needed.
Desperately needed is right, but you're dealing with a veteran pitcher that, when he's on, gets a lot of soft contact, a lot of jam shots, a lot of just misses from the opposing team. And then you got to understand there's the other side of it where he's going to get shellacked when things are a little bit flat. But you bring him in for the veteran presence in that rotation and the ability to change speeds and, like last night, go deep into the game and give the bullpen a rest when he's on. But, again, this is who we knew he was going to be once he got here. And you got to love the good and understand when he's not so good.
So it's been interesting because for the past, especially during the losing streak, we've been talking about the lack of production from Jorge Soler and Hunter Dozier. And also, you know, Kelvin Gutierrez has taken over basically as the everyday third baseman. But last night, all three of those guys came through. Dozier tied the game with a hit. Kelvin Gutierrez had a two-run single that gave the Royals a lead. And then Soler put it away with a two-run home run. And so it's been disappointing to see those guys struggle. But they all came through last night, so I kind of like just go, you know, piece by piece and tell me if you think they're going to come out of it, what your hopes are. Let's start with Soler. He had the one great year in 2019. Everything else has kind of been uneven, and there have been times that he's just looked lost at the plate. What about Jorge Soler and his struggles, and then hitting a home run last night, hopefully to help snap him out of it?
I'll be on the Soler bandwagon again when I start seeing him catch up to the extremes, the 95-plus. You know, he got a cookie out over the plate, a breaking ball that was up, and it deserved to be hammered, and it was. You know, it's kind of like he's in that slider bat speed mode where they're going to try and get him to chase something soft away and then elevate a fastball and watch him swing real hard at it. And slowly but surely it seems that he's starting to find the barrel a little bit more, similar to Hunter Dozier, who, you know, in my opinion, is the key to this offense being able to get on a roll, just because of the consistency that he's shown, you know, of hard hit contact, the hard contact rate and everything else. He's just got to quit looking up the scoreboard and trying to get above 200. It's going to take some time to climb that mountain. So don't look up on the Jumbotron. Just go about being loose. He looked a lot looser last night. He had some decent swings, and Montag was throwing pretty damn well there for quite a while. So, those guys need to get it going and just give the young kids a chance to kind of settle in. You know, we still really haven't seen this offense click like it can. But once you get Mondesi back and those players along, I'm just waiting to see if once they get going and they get a good 2-3 weeks together playing as a unit, that this offense can take off.
So Hunter Dozier has also been struggling. Different situation than Soler. Soler is a free agent at the end of the year. Dozier has a contract extension. He's been playing out in the outfield because Gutierrez has been better defensively at third base. What about Hunter Dozier and the possibility that he's going to be able to turn things around?
Well, like I said, it's just got to be a situation where Hunter, you know, quits looking up at the Jumbotron and trying to get the 200 real quick. He is starting to make a little better contact. He still looks a little bit tight in the upper half. A little bit of tension built in there. And, you know, again, as hard and consistent as he hit the ball, you know, last year and the year before, he needs to get back to that loose and free, easy swing that he has. And, you know, it might be to the point now where he's starting to loosen up. I'm sure he's one of those guys that isn't going to get outworked, so he's probably been doing a thousand things and trying to find an immediate answer to the problems that he's had with his swing. And sometimes that's paralysis by analysis and gets up there. And like I said, that's when the tension gets built in. And, you know, it's just going to be a long haul and a long process from the hole that he's dug himself into from a batting standpoint to climb his way back out of it.
All right. So, Kevin Gutierrez, he's essentially played every day at third base for almost a month now. And, you know, when Dozier was hurt, you're thinking, okay, he's just replacing Dozier, but now Dozier's back. He's out in the outfield, and Gutierrez is better defensively at third base. And that was an important night for him last night. He had a couple of hits, as I mentioned, the two-run single that gives the Royals the lead for good. But I feel like in the offseason, and really the last, maybe even last year, we haven't really talked about him. He's kind of been a forgotten guy that all of a sudden he's been the starting third baseman for the last month. Do you think he sticks when Mondesi comes back? And I'm just curious what your opinion is of him as a player, both offensively and defensively.
Well, he's not stupid. He knows that when Mondesi comes back, there's a decision that has to be made. And whether it's Nicky or him, someone else, he can't worry about that. And you're right, de facto starting third baseman has come up with some hits, and it's not like he's getting fooled. It's not like he's getting blown away. You're just dealing with a younger hitter that's trying to cope right now and survive. And when you're young and the team's on a little bit of a skid, you tend to look around and say, all right, who's the odd man out here? And a lot of those things are built in the characteristics of being a rookie and a young player that you got to push out of your mind that the veterans do and take care of business. So he has the opportunity to go out and force their hand to make them stick. But we talked about him about a month ago that I like his swing a lot. I mean, it is short and compact. One of those guys that doesn't try and do too much and finds a way to get the barrel on it. And he absolutely had some huge hits last night that kind of got us going.
You know, I read an interesting article at RoyalsReview.com about Kelvin Gutierrez, and you know he's 6'2", 220. That's what he's listed as. His exit velocity is pretty damn good, but his average launch angle is not good. I think it's the third lowest among all 513 players that are eligible. But so he just hits ground ball after ground ball. He makes great contact, but they call him Kelvin Gutierrez, destroyer of worms, because of the amount of ground balls he hits. And so you've seen some players make that adjustment and try to change their launch angle for a guy that looks good at the plate. Like you said, you like his swing, and he makes good contact, but he just hits so many ground balls. Is that just, like, what do you do with a guy like that?
Well, you don't work on it right now. You're trying to survive. You're trying to stay in the major league and to go over a major overhaul and trying to get more lift and more launch would not be advisable, in my opinion, right now, because you're really going to jack your swing up, and it takes some time to try and get it to lift. You can't just go up there and say, all right, I'm going to lift the ball now. You know, that takes a ton of work, and perhaps he is working on those things in the cage before the game and things like that. But right now, when he's up at the plate, he's just trying to survive and trying to put the ball in play hard and hope good things happen. So, yeah, destroyer of worms, but give me a destroyer of worms when his runner's on second and third and you you smoke a single up the middle to drive into, I'd say that's pretty good.
What do you think of him defensively?
I love his arm. He's got a huge wingspan. I just love the length and how quick his feet are. I think he's a very good defensive third baseman. The ability to make all those plays and has been pretty rock solid over there. Generally, you get guys that are that big. You know, you look at Chris Bryant, you know, with those long arms, he has pretty soft hands as well. But the ability that he has on that first step to get to a backhand, to get to a ball in the hole, he takes great angles. And again, that arm strength really makes up for any miscues he may have. He can catch up with that velocity across the diamond.
Okay, before we run out of time, let's talk about the starting pitchers. And boy, this is a hell of a weekend if you love watching the Royals' top pitching prospects, because you get Brady Singer tonight, you get Jackson Kowar tomorrow, and you get Chris Bubich on Sunday. Now, obviously, we'll get to Kowar's debut and what you're looking for from him, but let's start with Singer. And we just go right down the line if you want. Singer, Kowar, Bubich. What are you looking for from them to improve upon their last starts as they pitch against the A's this weekend?
Singer, you know, we're finding out that, you know, the red backside attitude that he tends to have might need to be a little bit tempered and calm it down, because there is, have noticed a tendency here lately to overthrow just a bit. I love his fastball. I love the way that it moves. Everybody coming into the game knows that it has an outstanding slider. I'd like to see him just work that fastball and let the action calm things down and let the action on his fastball take over a little bit more and work down in the zone. The new kids, well, they're learning. I think this will be a big start for Kowar and seeing how he can settle in, because he was chomping on that damn gum so much in that first start. My jawbone was, I'm going, holy smokes, dude, you're killing that gum. How many pieces? It didn't even look like he had but one piece in there, and I'm like, okay. And then, you know, generally beating the crap out of Salvi is not a good thing. So I think let him settle in. All of these parks, including Kauffman, is going to be new to him, the surroundings and everything else. I did like his changeup. I saw him throw a couple that I said, okay, that's the changeup everybody's been talking about. But he was just so damn out of whack. He couldn't find any tempo or rhythm. Bless his heart, that trying to get out of that inning was just not pretty. So I expect better. And then Bubich, again, I think he's starting to definitely settle in. He's figuring out that he can be a pitcher at this level. Pitch to contact. Everyone knows about his changeup. I liked when he tried to pitch in a little bit more, and I think he needs to do more of that. But a good weekend against a decent hitting Oakland A's team for these young kids to, again, continue their growth.
So before we let you go, take me back to your experiences. If Kowar's out there again chomping on that gum, and clearly nerves are getting to him, we're hoping that's not the case. He's got the debut out of his out of the way. But in your experience, thinking back to when you were catching, what do you do? How do you try to settle a pitcher down if clearly the nerves are getting to him?
Well, I guess the best story I could tell is when I was with the Oakland A's and we had a bunch of young pitchers, you know, Blake Stein, Tim Hudson, stuff like that. I'd go out there to try and calm them down, and Jason Giambi would run over talking about the girl in the fourth row and this and that and trying to get everybody to laugh. And you'd end up getting the whole infield laughing out there, and that would tend to be the case. But you got Salvi, who's been through this time and time again. It's hard, because you want to keep their emotions in check, but you also understand how hard it is when you're on the big stage for the first time facing guys that you read in the score box every day. It's just a matter of them figuring it out and them being able to calm the nerves. How they do that, whether it's chomping on gum or someone telling a joke or getting them to loosen up, success is what breeds that, the ability to calm down, maybe a couple of quick innings, a couple of good innings, and then you can breathe. And again, he's going to have more downs than ups right now, I believe, but I liked what I saw, and I know the Royals are pleased with what they have in the minor leagues and these kids coming up.
Mac, thank you for the time. Enjoy the mild Tulsa weather, please.
I hear it ain't too nice up there either, so have a good weekend.
Thanks, Mac. That's Mike McFarland. Hey, you want pitching prospects? You want to see these young kids? Tonight, Singer. Tomorrow, Kowar. Sunday, Bubic against a good team like the Oakland A's. I love it. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.